Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Jason McKee in the building. On today's episode, we're doing our own mock draft. We had done one previously, or I had done one previously, and a lot of people were very thrown off by my love of offensive linemen in this, so maybe we'll adjust based on the listeners and the viewers. We'll see kind of how the mock draft falls, but after seeing Peter Schrager's mock draft yesterday, we're all confused. We're leaving Malik Nabers on the table. We're moving back. We're taking J.C. Latham. Yeah. We're taking a right tackle before a left tackle. Troy Fontenot's still out there. We all confused. So we figure, why not do our own mock draft right here on the Chicago Bears podcast with you guys in mind? Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. J-Mac, what's good, my guy?
Man, what's going on, man? I see you made some new Twitter friends the other day, man.
Hey, listen. The guy, I don't know what buddy name was, but the guy when I said he said anybody that knew football knew that Justin Fields would not be here. And I said, well, there were a lot of NFL players that supported Justin Fields. Right. He was like, NFL players ain't watching tape.
Hey, man, like I said, everybody has opinions. Hey, everybody has a you know what. Everybody's got an opinion, man. You know what I mean? So, hey, it is what it is, man. I just sit back now and I just watch and I get my popcorn, like the emoji we get the eating the popcorn. I just sit there and watch, man, because
I just love that everybody. It was funny because I was like, everybody's reacting to this 1 minute clip and they don't realize that I also cooked Justin Fields fans who refused to let go of him.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, there's a new quarterback coming into town. And listen, we're not deliberating on the first pick in this mock draft. I'll tell you that much, right? But it's like, listen, here's the one thing that I love. I heard this yesterday. I heard John Cena say this yesterday on some interview that he did. And it's 100% true. At least they're talking about me. He had a moment where he said he had to leave because he got hurt and they cheered for him.
Oh, wow.
They cheered that he was leaving, WWE, and he had to take time to come back. Mm-hmm. He said they reacted, though. At least they reacted. People care enough about me to sit there and hate on my opinion and hate me. I'm doing something right. You know what I mean? I'm doing something right.
If your name is in their mouth, good or bad, you're doing something. You're doing something. Hey, if your name
it was a joke mouth, there.
Hey, you see what I'm saying?
Let's jump into this mock draft, J-Mac, because I think this is going to be a very, very interesting one using the PFF mock simulator. Settings that I have randomness all the way turned down for the most part because bro, I've done some of these mock drafts on PFF, and if you leave the randomness up at all, like MHJ is going like 15.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, like where'd y'all get this at? You know what I mean? Yeah. So I got the PFF and public about halfway. And then I've got positional importance turned all the way up because I think most teams will go in this with positional importance. And I've got, like I said, randomness all the way turned down. So let's start this draft up. I think the first pick is very easy. We know where we're going here.
Yep.
Caleb Williams. any debate on this, J-Mac?
Nah, no debate at all. I mean, he's a guy who can, you know, like Jeff King said, and I've talked about this a lot this past week. You know, Jeff King, who is, you know, in the personnel department for the Bears, talked about quarterbacks are either two things. They're an artist or a surgeon, right? And I think when you draft a Caleb Williams, he's a mixture of both because he can dissect you from the pocket being a surgeon. He can beat you, you know, on time, on schedule with the routine plays if the ball has to come out quick and on time, he can do those things. But he's an artist because of his ability to extend plays and make things happen when it breaks down. And we see that a lot from a quarterback who's, you know, the comps for Caleb Williams is to that of a Patrick Mahomes. And I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes. Don't crucify me. I don't want no new Twitter friends. All I'm saying is, Pat, the comps are saying that he's comparable to Patrick Mahomes based upon his skill set, his potential, and his ability. So without further ado, the Bears will be taking Caleb Williams with the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft.
That was a no-brainer there. All right, now I want to see how this – so Drake May goes to – I like to pause as we go through these. Yeah. No diddy. Because I just feel like there is a – I don't know where are your feelings on trading up in the draft, right? I mean, not to say for the Chicago Bears, do you feel like there's any reason to trade up? I mean, we're both big on Joe Alt. Me and Courtney talked about this yesterday. If you were going to trade up for anybody, a lot of people were saying MHJ. I don't know if MHJ is the answer on that. Yeah. Would you rather see the Bears trade up for Joe Alt, maybe, though, if he gets close to that Tennessee pick?
Yeah, I think it's tough. I think, you know, me personally, I like where we're at number 9 because you look at, okay, Joe Alt would be an ideal pick to bolster that offensive line, but you still have a lot of other tackles, you know, that could be available at number 9. You got Talise Fuaga, yep. Olu Fashanu. Yeah. You got the guy from University of Washington, Fatanu, who's could be there as well. But then there's some things that you may need on the opposite side of the ball in terms of the defensive line. You know, Laiatu, how you pronounce his last name?
Laiatu.
There you go, Laiatu. Dallas Turner, Jared Burse. A lot of guys that will be available at number 9 that can help this football team right away. And we need somebody with that 9th pick. If we're going to stay there, that's going to make an immediate impact. And I think all those guys that I mentioned could be, you know, key contributors to make an immediate impact. And I look at it like this, like our best bet, Pat, is for these teams to start trading into the first round, these quarterback needy teams to trade into the top 10 to get a quarterback, you know, like Minnesota, yeah. Like there's rumors that they may trade up and try to get, there's rumors saying, you know, who knows? They like, you know, one of these quarterbacks and J.J. McCarthy, whoever, because right now, I mean, they only have Sam Darnold. They have Nick Mullins, Jaren Hall on their roster right now. And I can't imagine, you know, you got a talent like Justin Jefferson in that receiving core, you know, he's going to want a quarterback that can get him the ball or that has the potential to be a star and continue to get him the ball. So, you know, I know there's a lot of quarterback needy teams. The Giants, we don't know what they're going to do right now. Yeah. They're satisfied with Daniel Jones. So, our best bet and our hope, Pat, as for Bears fans, is that, you know, these quarterbacks start running off the board because that gives us more opportunity to pick who we want or having our choice at number 9.
Yeah. Let's see what it ends up being. I think I would agree with you. The Giants, and I don't know if they do this. I don't know if PFF does this where they let other teams make trades. I know that we can make trades, but
yeah,
I don't know if other teams can trade up to get into this in their mock draft simulator. Maybe
I think they can. I think they can because on one that I had, I think they had somebody trade. I think somebody traded up in one of my mock drafts.
Okay. Okay. So maybe it can, and I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But let's see what we get here. We got the Patriots on the clock, and Drake May is already off the board. So I would assume Jaden Daniels here. Let's see what we get. Marvin Harrison 3.
I was going to say that too. And mine with PFF, they kept taking Marvin Harrison at 3, which was shocking to me because I would have thought, I still think, in my opinion, Jaden Daniels has more potential than Drake May. You know what I'm saying? So I would see Jaden Daniels going to Washington and then the Patriots possibly taking Drake May. But hey, if they're in love with Marvin Harrison, I mean, that's what it is, which is, I don't think it's going to pan out that way. But hey, I'm not the GM, so I can sit back and watch.
Here's what's tough about this, though. So we got Marvin Harrison 3. We got Malik Nabers 4. I would assume with this Chargers pick, I'm guessing Roma Dunze is probably going here. They got a quarterback. Now Jaden Daniels falls to the Giants, which is, oh, my God.
Yeah,
the Giants fans would be ecstatic at that, the prospect of that happening. If you see the receivers off the board, you're still comfortable staying at 9, or do you feel like the piece that we're looking for, we can get a little bit later in the draft, we move back?
I'm still sitting at 9 just because of the options at tackle and at edge. You know, two positions. Yeah.
We got everything open to us now.
You got everything you want still. You got everything you want.
This is insane. If the draft falls like this, sign me up.
Yeah.
See what we got here. Chargers at 5. Adunze, that makes sense. 6. Joe Alt 6? Wait a minute.
Yeah, they said, hey, Daniel Jones, we paid you this money. We got to make sure you're protected. We're taking Joe Alt. Now, does that hurt? Yeah, that hurts because we want Joe Alt.
And I want Joe Alt.
You hear my dog just barked in the background. He gave out a groan.
The dog Monk screamed it like, no!
He was like, I want Joe Alt. He was like, I want Joe Alt. So I understand, but we still have Talise Fuaga. You still have Olu Fashanu. J.C. Latham is still out there. Obviously, he's not projected to go in the top 10, but he's still an option there if we just, you know, just enamored with the tackles that we have. And we still got all the edge guys. You still have Laiatu. You still have Turner. You still have Verse still on the board.
My goodness. I want to know where Tennessee goes here. Like,
they're going to go
Jaden Daniels is still on the board here.
Tennessee will go Brock Bowers, I'm projecting. I think they're going to go tight end, man.
They went cornerback Quinyon Mitchell.
Mm. Really good
player. I mean, not a bad pick.
Yeah, he's a good player, man.
I got this in the wrong spot. Not a bad pick, but.
Yeah, I like Quinyon Mitchell. I like his game. We actually had a couple coaches from Toledo come visit the school, and the first thing they mentioned that, you know, Quinyon Mitchell was a homegrown guy. He wasn't a highly touted guy coming out of high school. You know, obviously not going to one of the perennial powerhouses. You know, going to Toledo, but they said he's a guy who's just worked his tail off from special teams from day one. They kept saying he was a guy that just wanted to do whatever he could to help the team, but also to help his own development. And him being able to have that work ethic and that mindset, it has put him in the top 10 in this draft. So, you know, it's going to be good to see him go as high as he's going to go, just because when you have players that put in the work, you know, work always wins. And to see a guy that put in that work and get rewarded for it is always a good thing. So, you know, I'll be happy for him wherever he goes. You know, we don't need him to be players, but I'll be happy for him.
The only thing that surprises me, well, listen, I'll tell you one thing. Ryan Poles is getting back into this draft for a cornerback somehow, no matter what. He loves drafting DBs.
Yeah.
This dude loves drafting DBs. But I'm very surprised that they wouldn't have gone Dallas Turner with Joe Alt being off the board 6.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's this may the Joe Alt to the Giants pick may throw all of this off. Could you see now, maybe not with PFF, but if this scenario plays out in real life, could you see, even though they just signed Kirk Cousins, Atlanta go Jaden Daniels as a future prospect at quarterback there if he fell that far?
No way. I don't think, you know, I think what they would do is just try to get more weapons around Kirk Cousins. I think they're leaning on Kirk Cousins. And
got a lot of weapons around him right now. I mean, yeah. Drake London, you got Darnell Mooney, you got Kyle Pitts, you got Bijan Robinson.
You can never have enough.
Plenty of young weapons.
You can never have enough, man. You can never have enough weapons. You know what I mean? And the thing is, too, when you look at Kirk, right, they're on Kirk. They paid him a lot of money. You know, he'll be their guy. I think they'll look to I still think they may possibly take a quarterback later in this draft, but they're going to stay pat with what they have right now. I can never see a Jaden Daniels going to Atlanta. I couldn't see that happening. Now I say that and watch the next pick. It'll be Jaden Daniels to Atlanta. This is pretty how much we know, right?
I've never seen the draft fall this way. So I am very intrigued by this. Let's see what we get here. Brock Bowers.
Yeah. See, you can never have enough weapons. I mean, you got two tight ends that can stretch the field vertically and Brock Bowers and Pitts. And then you Drake London. I mean, hey, Kirk Cousins is going to be out there dealing.
This is so, I mean, I have, so your top 8, so we take Caleb, Drake May, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Joe Alt, Quinyon Mitchell, Brock Bowers. There's only 2 quarterbacks off of the board here.
Yeah.
J-Mac, teams are probably looking to trade up now.
Yeah, and if
are you answering any of these calls here? We got, let's see, the Vikings are looking to trade up.
Yeah.
Who else we got? Is it? Oh, it's the drop down one. Vikings, Broncos, Raiders, yeah. Saints, Colts.
But if you look at this scenario right here, right? So the Vikings sitting at 11, knowing they need a quarterback. Well, look at it like this, right? There's no need for them to trade up because.
We're not taking
a quarterback. The Jets aren't taking a quarterback. You know what I mean? They already got Aaron Rodgers. Plus, if you did take a quarterback to the Jets, you know Aaron Rodgers is a guy that gets in his feelings. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be hurt. You pick a quarterback in the first round with him being there. So they can stand pat and they can still get whoever they want. You know,
can you risk missing a guy that we thought was going to go number two overall, though? Like, Jaden Daniels still on the board here. Like, I get it. You want to support Aaron Rodgers, but
yeah.
I mean, like, let's be real. Aaron Rodgers got a couple of years left at most, depending on how he comes back from this Achilles.
Yeah, well, you know what? You bring up a good point, because that would be a similar situation to the situation that Aaron Rodgers went into when he was at Green Bay. When he went into Green Bay, you know, you got a guy that you picked that was projected to go high, that you selected later in the first round, and had an opportunity to sit behind Brett Favre, right? He had an opportunity to develop under Brett Favre to see how he prepared and what he did to be a franchise quarterback, and then took that and tailored it into his own game. And I think that's a good correlation in terms of why he had so much success, because he had an opportunity to sit. He wasn't thrown into the fire. So, hey, you know, that scenario that you brought up, it does make sense, but I just don't see it happening. You know, I think you sit there and you have the Vikings at 11. They can pick Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy, whichever one they you know, feel more comfortable with.
And that's really what it comes down to, the fact that they have the option to pick both, right? There's still two quarterbacks on the board in this mock draft scenario. I don't know if we'll see this fall this way. Are you looking to move back at all, or are you just looking to start breaking down and taking a player? Because, I mean, there are, right, Denver's a team that you may be able to get a lot from.
Yeah.
We still don't have a second-round pick.
I guess
if we make a pick here, are you opposed to trading future capital to get back into this second round this year?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Who's on the board? Let me see who's on our board.
We got a lot of people on the board right now.
Cooper. I like Cooper. I think he's going to be a solid player. I like Newton as well. But, yeah, I mean, you look at Laiatu's there. You look at Fuaga. I think Fashanu's still there.
Olu Fashanu's still on the board. Troy Fontenot's still on the board.
So you've got Latham. You've got guys. I could see, you know, you look at it like this, right? You know, Minnesota needs a quarterback. The Raiders need a quarterback. And then you have to assume the Broncos need a quarterback, right? So there's three quarterback needy teams with two top quarterbacks left, right? J.J. McCarthy. My dog's getting mad at me. Jaden Daniels. But then you also have now here's one that could sneak up into the first round, because of these teams are just trying to find that next quarterback, and that's Bo Nix as well. So he's out there as well. I think where we're sitting, we could actually trade back the way this has fallen, because with all these quarterback needy teams that's right behind us, they can jump up to try to get that quarterback that they want before the other team, and we can still grab one of those tackles, one of those edge rushers that we need.
Now, here's the big thing, though. Dallas Turner's still on the board. I think Dallas Turner is a game wrecker. Yeah. Jared Verse still on the board. Absolute game wrecker. Can you risk moving back and letting that guy opposite of Montez Sweat go off of the board? Because while I think the next couple of teams are probably in on the quarterback, I don't know if you can get past 13 and Dallas Turner's still there.
No, without a doubt. I would stay, like I said, I would probably trade back. If you show me the big board, Pat, who we got?
Let's see here. So we got everybody wants to trade up. So
yeah, the furthest I would go is 13, because I know the Raiders need a quarterback. Denver needs a quarterback, right? Minnesota needs a quarterback. I would possibly trade back to 13, see what they do at quarterback, and then see who's available. I'm still gonna have my choice of guys that can come in and make an immediate impact on this team on either side of those trenches, whether it be an offense or defensive line.
All right, so we would be giving up our ninth pick.
Yep.
They're giving us 13. They don't even want to give up the second round pick here.
Yeah, that's tough. Let's see what
13 and 44, and they don't want to give up the second round pick here. I mean, listen, I'm not.
That is, so yeah, I don't want to go, and I don't want.
I'm not trading if you don't want to give up the second
round. I got to tell him, look here, guy. I want this year's pick. I don't want next year's second round pick. I want this year's second round pick.
Okay? Yeah.
So we need to make something happen. You know.
I mean, listen.
Hey, and if you want to go ahead and throw in Davante Adams, throw in Davante Adams because we feel like it. Hey, throw him in there because we feel like it.
Hey, just because I feel like it.
Right. I just don't.
Maybe David Putney.
Yeah, we need. the third round pick, of course they would do that, but it's like, hey, we're moving back. How many slots is that? We're moving back.
Hey, listen, we could take some draft capital off of them, though. I mean, they for the 13th pick, for the ninth pick, I should say, it looks like they're willing to give up 13, 77, 112, and 48.
Man, I would do that in a heartbeat. I mean, you're adding
a lot of draft capital.
Yeah, you're adding a lot of draft capital, and I still have an opportunity to pick a player who I coveted in this draft, and I'm still able to get him and add pieces. That is a lot of draft. I can't see them giving us
all. I can't see them giving this up at all. I feel like PFF might be tweaking on this. Now I'm adding in future stuff, and it's like, yeah, it's still a chance they get at it. A fourth and a fifth. I don't know about that. Yeah,
I would say
that's a lot of belief in JJ McCarthy or Jaden did.
Yeah, maybe that third, and then next year maybe a fourth to move up, to bump up a couple slots into the top 10. But I can't see them giving up their whole draft to bump up a few slots. You know what I'm saying?
Now, here's that's because it's 76, though. I forgot they don't have a second round pick.
Yeah.
Denver also doesn't have a second round pick. So I want to get into this second round. That's my thing. I don't want years or I don't want, you know, a day and a half to go past and we don't have a pick.
Yeah.
Like if that's such a tough one to me, but I feel like you're missing out on so much. Who's got a second round pick? I'm giving you nine. Denver doesn't want to give up there.
What do the Vikings have? What do the Vikings have? I can't see them moving. I mean, from the way the draft has panned out with what we're doing right now, you know, I really can't see them moving up a couple slots due to the fact that they know we don't need a quarterback, and they know the Jets probably won't take one.
Vikings have two firsts, so they don't have a second, though. Their next pick is at 108, which is in the third round. Oh no, that's the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got their two firsts. I would assume that they're not going to move up either. Mm-hmm.
They're going to stand pat, and then they'll be able to
get
either McCarthy or Jaden Daniels. I mean, I think they would take either one. Now the shocking thing would be if they stayed there and took Bo Nix, you know what I mean? Because Daniels and McCarthy has been rated higher than Bo Nix up to this.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, right, we're looking for those guys that want the quarterback. Are the Saints in a quarterback situation right now? Like,
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be.
This draft has fallen very differently than I expected. Yeah. That's why these mock drafts are funny, because it's almost like a mental exercise. It's like,
yeah. And the Colts, and I think that's how Peter Schrager's mock draft ended up, right? Didn't we trade with the Colts and then we selected J.C. Latham?
We traded with the Colts. But now, right, is the Colts trade on the table because in that situation they were taking Malik Nabers?
Yeah.
And Malik Nabers is off of the board here.
Yeah. And you know, Colts ain't going now, quarterback because they
– right now – and this is a 68% chance that it would get accepted. Usually above 60 leans in your favor. They're willing to give us a second round pick for the ninth overall pick, but we move back to 15.
Is that the Colts?
This is the Colts. We move back to 15 here. I don't know. Maybe I can get a future.
Yeah, I think
future fifth in there as well. 15, 46 and a future fifth, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, go back to
who. For the ninth overall pick.
Let's see who's available.
For the players?
Yeah, keep the Colts there. So you look at it like this, right? You still have
there's a lot on the board.
There's a lot on the board, man. And I just can't see us. I think Newton's a great player. I think he's a solid player. He had a great year. But I just think when you have two young tackles in Dexter and Pickens, you're going to lean on another year of development. But, I mean, like we said, I mean, look how much you have. You got Leao Tulatu. You've got Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
I think you still have the tackles on the board. Is Fashanu on the board? Yeah. I mean, just look at it like this, right? You got all these
things that need quarterbacks. Still on the board. Troy Fontenot's still on the board.
Yeah, we can trade back and get one of those guys. I mean, on either side of the ball. We're still in good shape. We're going to gain some draft capital. You know the Vikings are going to take a quarterback. The Raiders are going to take a quarterback. The Broncos possibly will take a quarterback. So we're sitting pretty. The Jets may take a tackle to help protect Aaron Rodgers, but we're still good because there's still some tackles available, depending on who they take.
So right now with this trade, we would get 15, we would get 46, and we would get a future fifth for the ninth overall pick.
Yep.
46 puts us right behind the Saints again, who have Denver's second round pick. You want to make this trade?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's make this trade. I'd make that deal. You make that deal? They made that deal.
Hey, yeah, this is Pose. Yeah, call it in. Hey, this is Pose. Cool. I'm cooking. Call it in.
So now we're sitting at 15. So let's see kind of how this board falls as it gets back to us. Let's see what the Colts do here.
Taking a cornerback.
I would Cooper DeJean, that makes a lot of sense for them.
I like that.
Uwaga's off the board. He goes to the Jets.
Jaden Daniels.
J.J. McCarthy in Denver.
There we
Byron
go.
Murphy.
Who they got?
Latu. Hey. Here's why. I almost feel bad about this, but this, like, a part of me, this is not believable to me at this point because Dallas Turner and Jared Verse are still on the board.
Yeah, but go back up. So that means that
does the wide receiver run shake things up this much if it happens?
The thing that I'm looking at that makes this mock draft, like the start of it, unbelievable, that is just the Marvin Harrison to New England. Because I'm looking at, you're going to bring in a top tier receiver, but who's going to throw to him? You know what I'm saying? So that's.
I guess you feel like if they start the run, you've got a game changing receiver on the field, right? And maybe you later on in the draft, because what picks do the, I'm not trading here, but I want to see if I can see New England's picks. New England's next pick is at 34. How this is falling right now, you're probably able to get Bo Nix. You're probably able to get LSU quarterback.
Jaden Daniels
is off the board.
He's gone.
Michael Penix. You're probably able to go get Michael Penix. Penix, a little bit of an injury concern, but if I'm taking that concern on a second round pick, I feel better about that. I've got Marvin. I know. Listen, I did a reaction over on my Patreon the other day for Rome Odunze, and I couldn't even really do a legitimate, this guy's so amazing. Not that he isn't, but Michael Penix kept putting the ball in the right spot.
I agree with that. I think Michael Penix, in terms of his arm talent, is very good, but I think Rome Odunze is a really solid receiver in terms of the things that he can do, right? And on film, he's shown that he can do everything, right? He can run the route tree. But I think the biggest thing that I like about him is when that ball's in the air, right, and in contested catches, he wins majority of those battles. And in this league, majority of the balls that are in the air, it's going to be a contested battle. You see what I'm saying? Like when you have them jump balls and 50-50 balls, he's going to win that battle. He's not
78% contested catch percentage for Rome Odunze. Great at the 50-50 ball.
Right. And then, you know, he's big enough and he's tough enough to be able to go over the middle and make those tough catches to where you're going to have to catch that ball, but also be able to absorb contact and hold on to that ball at the same time. So I like him as a receiver. I think he's polished. I think his game will translate to the NFL level. That's why, you know, teams are, you know, like we saw who picked him in our mock, the Chargers. Grabbed him.
Rome Odunze went to the Chargers.
Yeah, yes. So they jumped up and grabbed him because Harbaugh knows.
Hey, well, no, they're five.
Huh?
Chargers are five, so they didn't move up.
Yeah, they stayed there, but that's why they went and took him because, you know, Harbaugh knows, hey, we're going to play power football, but if we want to run power football and play action, we got a receiver that can go get it, especially losing a Keenan Allen, you know, to us, to the Bears. So I think that's a good pick for the Chargers because of the potential that Rome Odunze can bring to a team.
Oh, yeah. I think Rome is phenomenal, but I just – it's very tough for me. I don't know, man. Like, I can see the logic and why the Patriots would take MHJ because I think you can get a guy later on in the draft. But, man, Dallas Turner still – I mean, at this point, Dallas Turner or Jared Verse. Like, that's kind of what I'm I'm not even looking on the, like, yes, Olufoshanu's still on the board. Troy Fontenot's still on the board. But I don't know if I view either of them as game altering players. I think that they're both really good pieces, but are either of them game altering?
You talking about the tackles?
I'm talking about the offensive tackles. To me, though, on the defensive side, Dallas Turner and Jared Verse are game altering players.
Yeah, game changing players. I get it. When I look at the tackles, right, and I look at what they could bring. So I have an opportunity, right? I know I'm taking the first overall pick, my quarterback, but I have an opportunity in back-to-back drafts to lock up my right tackle and to lock up the most important position on an offensive line is that left tackle. You see what I'm saying? I have an opportunity to hopefully solidify that spot, right? And I know I got Braxton Jones. I know he's been, you know, a pleasant surprise in the fifth round. And he's been there, but he missed some time last year. But if I can bring in a guy who can be a potential starter for the next 4 or 5 years, just like what we saw with Darnell Wright, who was a great pick at number 10 last year, I think you have an opportunity there, I think you go for it, especially with a young quarterback. And we saw the trouble we had last year with this offensive line. It was a carousel each and every Sunday, and we saw Justin Fields take a lot of hits because the inconsistency in terms of the level of play at the offensive line, but also inconsistency in the availability of our offensive linemen each and every Sunday.
True, but for the most part, Braxton, I mean, he did have had some concussion issues last year, so he missed a couple of games with that. But and listen, y'all know how I feel about Braxton Jones. I'm not the Braxton Jones supporter. I'm not overwhelmingly convinced that Braxton Jones is the answer at left tackle.
28 games he's played. 28 games he started.
Yes. I don't think that he's your answer at left tackle.
Darnell Wright started every game this year.
Is he good enough to stand in there and continue to be a starter? That I do believe. Do I think he's an elite starter? No, I think he's average to maybe closer to below average, but more average than below average, right? I know on the other side of the field, I don't have somebody that projects to be what Dallas Turner is or what Jared Verse is.
Yeah.
They're like, I guess with Braxton Wright, has there been incremental improvement over a couple of years? Sure. That means he's still moving in the right direction. I think that's why, weirdly enough, the Bears still believe in him, even though most of us as fans and as analysts don't. But I know the limitations of DeMarcus Walker. We've seen him. Yeah, I mean, like even next to Montez Sweat, he's a lot of his sacks come at the interior. I think you can still utilize him, but I know the limitations of DeMarcus Walker. I know where that ceiling is right now. I know the limitations of Dominique Robinson. I don't even know if he makes the team this year.
Yeah.
That means that you don't have a guy on your team that has the upside or the potential that either Dallas Turner or Jared Verse have, and they're both available to you right now. Yeah. That's tough for me to go away from. I use the example that in the draft room when they were talking about Devin, do we have a guy on the roster that can do what they can do?
Right. And yeah, I don't think we do. Without a doubt. I mean, look at, like you talked about, DeMarcus Walker, 3.5 sacks last year. Justin Jones, who's not here.
Two of them from the interior, too, not even from the edge.
Dominique Robinson, 0.5 sack. Like, that's not good enough. But at the same time, you know, like if I have an opportunity to possibly solidify the most premium position out of the offensive line, especially when I'm drafting, hopefully, my franchise quarterback, I have an opportunity to solidify his backside at left tackle, you know, with a guy who I've evaluated. You've got Latham, you got Fatanu. Who else was available?
At offensive tackle right now, Latham is available. Fashanu is available. JC Latham is still available. Those are the three. Now let's have a conversation here, right? Because where's Lance Briggs when you need him? This is his guy. I really like Jordan Morgan. I really like Jordan Morgan, and we just added a second round pick. Now, I don't know if he makes it to us because we're sitting now at 46. That'd be a long way for him to get to us.
Yeah.
But I think that Jordan Morgan, if he is a second round pick, is a guy who at that tackle position makes a big difference on an offense right away.
Yeah.
I think that could we maybe convince to take the edge and see kind of if Jordan Morgan gets to us? Cause I guess the second round tackles, right? You start, he gets a lot thinner.
Mm-hmm.
Amarius Mims.
That's what I'm saying. I think when you look at it like this, if you have, right, we've done a lot. We spent a lot on defense. We spent a lot on defense last year. We drafted defense last year. It's time to get this offense right. You know, it's time. And how do we get this offense right? Well, it starts up front. You know, I'm on the committee that's presenting the offensive line. You're on the committee that's presenting the defensive ends. Like, you know, and the other committee was the wide receiver. So they're out the room. Their presentations is out the room because all our receivers who we coveted at that number nine spot are gone, and we traded back. So there's nobody that we want in terms of receivers that we would take right now in terms of what's available. What's available right now is the tackle and the edge rusher. So
yeah.
I think either way, you can't go wrong either way because we're addressing, you know, two positions of need. You got to address the trenches. But being an offensive guy, I'm leaning more towards the tackle. But I would not be upset if we did end up with a Jared Verse or Dallas Turner at 15. I would be celebrating.
Well, since there's only two of us on here, we got to do one of these with everybody on the Chicago Bears podcast on here so we can actually get like a full war room in here. Hey, EO, we might need you for a tiebreaker on this one, brother. We might need you to come in because I think hey, I'm not going, I'm going. I can't leave Dallas Turner on the board.
You know where I'm going? Give me Olufoshinu for 500, Alex Trebek. Give me Olufoshinu.
You going Olufoshinu on this.
Olufoshinu was a teammate of Caleb Williams. All right, back in high school, left tackle. He's athletic. He's got long arms. Let's get her done. Let's solidify that offensive line. Now we got a left tackle. Now we got a right tackle for the next few years that can protect our franchise quarterback who we just took at the number one spot. Let's get it going.
I forgot about that they were teammates. That's a big upside. EO, I saw you pop in. What's your thoughts, though?
Caleb, how you doing? This is Ryan Poles. How would you feel about if we brought in your guy Olufoshinu here at the Bears organization? Oh, you want him? Okay, we'll get it done. Hey, give me Olufoshinu on the phone.
I'm not gonna lie. That was very convincing. I'll allow it. I know in the comments I'm about to get cooked. You might be like, you shouldn't have let that happen. It is what it is.
Look.
I'm not mad at it. I'm going to put the pick in here with the 15th pick in the NFL draft. The Chicago Bears select Olumiyawa Fashanu. I can't wait to see somebody try to pronounce that.
Jeff Jones.
I know people are going, yeah, Dallas Turner goes right next. At least we don't got to see him that often.
Yeah. He's with the Jets. Where did Troy go to?
Troy Fontenot versus on the Rams. Wow, they're back. J.C. Latham, Jerzon Newton to the Dolphins. That makes a lot of sense, actually. Brian Thomas going to Philly. Pick. Nate Wiggins, Amarius Mims is off the board to Dallas. Graham Barton off the board. I'm not going to lie to you. If Jordan Morgan is there, I'm going to be real upset that we didn't take one of these guys.
You know what I do like, though? I like Adonai Mitchell, though, from Texas. I think he's a slept-on wide receiver. He's a big, athletic, fast guy that made a lot of plays for Texas. Okay. There's your guy, Morgan, right there.
I feel better.
Of course.
I feel better. Chiefs. Oh, God. Hey, Pat Mahomes is protected for the next 10 years.
Right. He goes to the Chiefs, in which they're going to make him a superstar.
Oh, there goes Jackson Powers Johnson. That sucks. I love Powers Johnson, dog.
Yeah, Peyton Wilson's a good player.
Zach Frazier. I feel like they missed on center there a little bit. Not a miss, but I feel like that was a little bit of a reach. Keon Coleman off the board. That's tough. I feel like we do need to address wide receiver here. And
Penix, there you go, Penix to the Raiders.
Ricky Pearson.
Yeah, Pearson. I think he's a slept-on receiver. I like him out of Florida. He's gonna be a real good receiver. I think he's gonna be, when it's all said and done, I think Pearson out of Florida will be one of the more talked about receivers from this draft, to be quite honest.
Okay, so now a lot of receivers have gone off the board. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Bears have an opportunity here to add a wide receiver, because this is a wide receiver rich draft. And if I'm not mistaken,
let me see the big board.
Oh my bad. Hold on. Xavier Worthy on the board.
Nope. I don't want Worthy. I know he blew the doors off of the combine and ran the fastest 40 ever. But man, I'm telling you, give me Xavier Leggett. Give me
out of South Carolina.
Yes.
Xavier Leggett. I'm not out on that either. Only thing about Worthy that really excites me is that he's the difference in him. First off, 5'11", right? He's not super undersized. They got him at 6'1" on here?
He can play. Now it's not.
I don't know about that one. Did he measure out at 6'1" at his pro day? Did I miss that?
His speed, I mean, obviously we know about his speed, but the kid can play. He can run the route tree, he can play.
And I think that's my thing. You're combining speed with a guy that actually it's not a this guy's fast, so he's going to be a kick returner situation. This guy's an actual good wide receiver. Yeah. Love how he runs the route tree. Love how he attacks his routes. Love how he breaks off his routes. I think he has really good hands. And I think you then combine that with the speed, adding that to a team that has DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. That could be a killer for you, because both DJ Moore and Keenan Allen have spent time in the slot and have done very well there. Yeah. So everybody's kind of interchangeable at that point.
Go to Xavier Leggett, though. I look at him, and he's a guy. Oh, yeah. I mean, look at that. This guy, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's a physical receiver. You know, maybe even comped him to Deebo Samuels, who played at the same college. And, you know, here's a guy who can do a lot of things that you envisioned Velus Jones doing, right? You can possibly put this guy in the backfield, you can put him in the slot, you can put him out wide. This gives you another offensive piece that you can utilize to create mismatches against defenses and make plays. So, you know, I love this pick. I love that Xavier Leggett fell here. And if we can get him, you know, after making that trade and getting back into the second round, I think this is a no-brainer for us.
Now, Matt Miller from ESPN right now, which scares me.
What'd they say?
Comping him to Jonathan Mingo.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's Jonathan Mingo. That's a little disrespectful, man. I'm not going to lie to you. Go back
to Jalen Polk. Now, Jalen Polk is a receiver opposite of Romo Dunze. I think he's got some good size on him as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Jalen Polk. Now, here's the one thing I do want to see. Now, size-wise, yes. Let's go to first look here. 6'2", 204 pounds. 22 years old, so a young player. This is what I've really been looking at with a lot of these big body guys. That contested catch rate is Roma Dunze was a 78% contested catch percentage, I should say, or contested catch rate.
Yeah.
What's Leggett sitting at right now? 47.6. Yep. So, I mean, he's literally a 50-50 guy.
Yeah, but look at it. Okay, now go back. Now, that's stat, right? Contested catch rate. But when you look at stat versus man coverage, it was at 85%.
Yeah, he's cooking versus man.
So, I mean, it's – you know what I'm saying? So, that's – I think that contested catch rate is a little distorted. So, that what jump ball, he's a little bit under 50-50.
He's beating him, so to say. That.
I mean, yeah, I don't. You know what I'm saying? Man coverage, I mean, that's going to be contested ball right there as well. So if you're 85% in that category, then
I don't see
how that translates.
What I would say that means is he's beating man coverage more times than not, so he's not getting a lot of contested catches in those situations. Yeah. And when it is, right, it's 47%. Yeah. I mean, listen, there's still a lot of really good names on this list. I'm okay with going Xavier Leggett. I know Xavier Worthy's name's popped up. Speed does kill, though. Like, to me, I guess the only argument I would have is if you go Xavier Worthy, are you then adding a piece that puts you in that Miami Dolphins style of offense? No, where you got burners everywhere.
I think another thing you look at when evaluating Xavier Worthy, right? Talk about the new kickoff rule.
Right? Oh, that contested catch rate ain't good, though.
That's Xavier Worthy?
That's Xavier Worthy.
But look at it like this, right? Xavier Worthy can bring you some value in the return game, especially with the new kickoff rule. He's got that elite speed. He's got that elite speed in which, you know, an offensive coordinator can do a lot of things in which the defense is going to have to respect that speed, in which he can get a lot of other guys open. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen can work those intermediate and underneath routes with an Xavier Worthy being able to take the top off of defense. So you got options here. You've got Polk, who's been a solid player. You've got Leggett, who can do a lot of things, who gives you a lot of versatility based upon your scheme. And then if you just fall in love with the speed of Xavier Worthy, combine that with the ability to run routes, then you got another piece there. So Malachi Crowley, I don't know too much about him to even evaluate this guy. I have no idea.
Yeah, I was going to say no love for Malachi Crowley. He was a 4.47 40. Mm-hmm. Good. I mean, didn't do great versus the contested catch radius, but solid receiver. What's his he got targeted 115 times, had 79 receptions, 985 yards. Yards per reception 12.5. I like the yards per reception, 11 touchdowns on the season. Size-wise, you're looking at a guy who is 5'11", 210. Little meatball of a guy.
Yeah, he's a Florida guy, so I know he can play.
Yeah. that's all you throwing on that? He's a Florida guy.
He can play. He's a Florida guy. He can play.
I'm not going to lie. I'm fine going Xavier Leggett here. I think that's not a bad name to have. Any love for Polk over Leggett, I guess.
Yeah, I think either one of those guys. You know, I think you're adding more weapons around Caleb, right? You're getting guy, like you said, he's 74% of his man coverage, right? So you're finding more guys that can get open, that you don't have to scheme open, that can get open. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's good for Caleb, especially when you have a quarterback that does play off schedule a lot. You know, these guys got to find space, and Caleb Williams will get that ball to him.
Bro, 6'3", 227 pounds. We going Leggett. I'm not.
That's a big guy, man. That's a big boy.
I had to go with him. PFF's going to say it's a reach, but I'm going there, man. That's a monster. Polk going right after.
Yeah.
So the Giants took two wide receivers? Am I tripping? Didn't they take?
Who did they take in round one? I thought they took. I think they took Neighbors, right?
No, I got to go back up and look, but I want to see kind of how this draft fall. Jonathan Brooks off the board to the Browns. That's tough. We were talking about.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, like, you have Jonathan Brooks, right? You have one running back that's coming, Nick Chubb coming back off an injury, and then you the same thing. You draft a running back coming off of an injury. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if he heals well, I mean, he's got a lot of potential. He could have been possibly a first-round running back if he didn't get hurt at Texas last year with that knee injury. But at the same time, you're drafting another running back coming off of an injury. And you're
feels very Browns.
Yeah. You're trying to bring back a running back. You're hoping a running back that you had, Nick Chubb, who's one of the elite running backs in this league, when healthy, he's coming back off an injury. So that's kind of confusing there.
Now, I will say this. I think we've got a chance to get somebody really, really interesting.
Spencer Rattler goes to the Giants.
If he gets – oh, wow. All right. Xavier Thompson. Dang it. Well, there was my edge.
Another attack out of Notre Dame. Who's left?
So Xavier Thomas going off the board. That was who I was looking at. They got him right before I go back.
So Austin Booker. Now
Austin Booker's still on the board. I like Austin Booker as a guy right here
that I'd be intrigued by.
Is this a little high for 75 though?
Yeah.
Is this a little bit? That feels a little bit early for Austin Booker to me. I'm not gonna lie to you. Let me see. Now here's the other thing too, because have you I'm a fan of Muhammad Kamara.
I know nothing about Muhammad Kamara.
I'm a fan. There's two guys I'm a fan of, Gabriel Murphy and Muhammad Kamara. I think Gabriel Murphy does not get enough love because he's the guy opposite Latu Latu. But we're bringing him here to be the guy opposite Montez Sweat.
I'm not going to sit here and even act like I've watched film on either one of those guys because I have not.
I'm not. Well, J-Mac, now you're sitting there feeding into those guys on Twitter. They're like football.
No, I'm being honest, like other people on Twitter aren't, in terms of evaluating guys who they've never watched film on.
I
like the highlights. You can see like 30 seconds of highlights does not make him a good player. That's all the good plays. I need to see what this edge is doing when the ball is going away from him. Is he chasing down the ball? You know what I'm saying? Is he around the ball? Like I need to see. You've got to watch tape. Full game tapes to get a true evaluation of what this player is. I can't give you an evaluation off of these guys off of a minute highlights. That's all those good plays.
Yeah, Javante John Baptiste. Any of that in your repertoire?
No, I like him because he's a Notre Dame guy. I'm a Notre Dame fan, so that's that's all I can give you. I haven't watched film on any of these guys.
I'll say this. I feel better about leaving Edge on the table early, even though I don't believe that either of Muhammad Kamara or Gabriel Murphy are game changing. But I do think that they are pieces that do have some upside, and opposite Montez Sweat, you can bring the best out of them. And I think that is something that excites me. They're both guys we can get at 122.
Now
if we don't get one, we can get the other one. So right now, sitting at 75.
Here's the evaluation I will make, right, based upon those guys that are edge players, right?
Right.
And I don't know. I'm not going to say this for all of them because I got to go back and look at their history. But at least you're drafting a guy, right, that has played edge instead of relying on a guy that you tried to make into an edge, meaning Dominique Robinson. You see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
You moved him to edge because of his measurables, because of the way he tested. And he just hasn't panned out. Well, now I can get a guy who's played that position, has had success at that position in college for more than a 1 year sample size.
Now, what sitting at 75 here, Kellen Bullock from USC. I know we don't need DBs, but I think that he would be a very interesting DB, especially a coverage guy. Because I do believe that the moves that we've made at safety to this point, outside of Jaquan Brisker, are short term moves.
Yeah. Well, who's the best player available?
Best player available right now.
That's what you do when you're at a standstill. Jalen Wright.
Jalen Wright, halfback. We don't need that. Yeah. Junior Colson, out of Michigan.
We don't need a linebacker.
We don't need a linebacker. I mean, we got Noah Sewell last year. I do love the fact that he Junior Colson, when I look at his game, is a very mental player. He reminds me of kind of something we have with Jack Sanborn. Not to say that he can't play, not to say he's not, you know, athletic and can't get there, but he's a very smart player. He's a sure tackler. He's a guy that's going to be able to bring guys down. Like I wouldn't be mad at making that pick there. But I mean, at this point, you're going a lot of wide receivers and halfbacks at best player available.
Yeah.
Kellen Bullock is the next safety available, but he's on that best player available.
Yeah, Ray Davis. He was a back out of Kentucky. He started his career at Temple. What I know about Ray Davis. Solid back, but he's we don't need a running back. We got three of them right now.
I think we're good in the running back department here.
Yeah, man. Just looking at the best player available in terms of need, where we're at, I know it's pretty high, but I'm still looking at Austin Booker. Who am I missing? Yep, Austin
Booker. I mean, listen, I'm not mad at that, right? If you go Austin Booker, it is high, though. Like, I would say for sake of time, more than likely we would end up trading back in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
But for sake of time on the podcast, because these mock drafts, we'll be here all day. You know what I'm saying? We'll be here. J-Mac got stuff to do. He's got kids to train. He's got workouts to get.
Hey, it's easy when you're not the GM. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
it's fun when you ain't the GM, right?
I'm okay taking Austin Booker here at the edge. I know that you can get some of those guys later on in this draft as well, but I'm fine taking Austin Booker here. We can go Austin Booker. Boom. It's done. They about to be like, what's wrong with you? You took him so high.
Yeah, that's all right.
But I think here's the thing. The part that you have to play into is that a lot of people don't talk about in this is, yeah, maybe I took that guy high, but how does he fit into my scheme?
Exactly.
How does he work out on my team?
And when Austin gives you six sacks opposite Montez Sweat, they won't be saying that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Oh, you do. And that's my favorite thing, right? It's like even talking about the offensive line, I was like, if you believe in Jackson Powers Johnson and you feel like you can't trade down to get ahead of somebody that you know is going to take him, mm-hmm. take him at nine. And I know everybody, why would you ever take a center top 10? Because I believe he's the answer.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about when you take a guy if he's the answer. Yeah, you know I mean? You know why we care that Velus Jones is a third round pick? He ain't the answer.
The cool thing is,
he's the question.
You know, I see some names on here, right? I just saw Bucky Irvin, a kid who's from the Chicagoland area. So that's good to see, you know, him go. He will go in this draft, but it's always good to see players who have played high school football in the Chicagoland area getting an opportunity to get drafted and to live out their dreams.
Does this one throw you off?
Man, you talking about Jeremiah Trotter
Jr.? Does that throw you off a little bit of the juniors in here? You
know, the crazy thing is, so Jeremiah Trotter Jr., same height, so St. Joe's Prep in Philly, same high school as Marvin Harrison Jr. and DeAndre Swift. Really good football program that Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is coming from.
Ooh, we might have missed on that one. I ain't going to lie to you. Cedric Van Pran still on the board, although I wouldn't have took him at 75. Like, again, that's a trade back for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said before, some of these guys, you know, I mean, to really understand, like, you really have to watch their tape. Like, I have not watched a lot of these guys' tape.
You're not into your fourth-round breakdowns yet, J-Man?
No, I just haven't. No.
Brandon Rice to the Colts.
Yeah, I have not watched tape. I'm gonna admit, I have not watched tape on these guys.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm willing. It's still on the board, huh? Muhammad Kamara still on the board. Gabriel Murphy still on the board. Those are two guys to me that really excite me. I mean, and especially without a Bears run, kind of a platoon type of defense where you're swapping out.
Yeah.
The entire defensive line, I would love to see Muhammad Kamara or Gabriel Murphy.
Yeah, you got to keep a Bears team on the quarterback.
6'1", 250 coming off of the edge for Kamara right now.
He'd be more of just like at that size, like, I don't know. Is he more of a situational pass rusher? You know what I'm saying?
I think he is that. I think he's legitimately a situational pass rusher. One of those guys where you put them in and pin your ears back moments.
Because at that size, I just don't see, you know, I don't know how he's going to run.
Gabe Murphy, a little bit slower, but 6'3", 260. And like I said, a guy who gets off the line quickly,
but
really good breakdown,
in his breakdown, the couple of things that I see in his breakdown, right, that really gets me excited in terms of the analysis of Gabriel Murphy, right? Lightning quick hands, a technician's mindset.
Yes.
So as a defensive line coach, I'm looking at it, okay, I got a guy who has quick hands, right? But understands how to use them, right? So that's something, that's a base that I can continue to develop on, right? So if he doesn't have the quickest first step, right, that's something that we can work on. We can work on that. But if he has a technician's mindset, means he's trying to get better. He's trying to perfect his craft. And he's got lightning quick hands. Like, that's what I like, you know, understanding how to attack half a man, right? You don't want to attack down the center of a tackle because that's easier. Yeah. That's a bull rush. You attack half a man. If he has some bend, he's able to get on that edge and use those lightning quick hands with good technique. Well, there's a guy that could possibly give me some sacks and get some pressure on the quarterback. So those are the things that I take away from Gabriel Murphy's write-up.
And the one thing that I loved about Gabriel Murphy when watching him, he does have a quick first step. I think when you start to get into, like, he's got to chase somebody down, right? The quarterback starts to get away. I think that's when you see the quarterback kind of – but he is pushing him off his spot. He's very good at that. The one thing that I see that – and I'm not comparing him to this guy, calm down, everybody relax. But when you talk about attacking half a man, I saw Warren, he does something that Warren Sapp would do where he uses both hands. I thought that that was like it was such a comparison that you don't see guys do a lot, because you see guys go with the one hand trying to move people out the way and they try to swim move and all of that. But like I saw him a couple of plays where he just breaks his man down opposite of him.
Mm-hmm.
Man gets the arm across, left tackle gets the arm across his chest. He's got the arm here, uses this hand, picks the arm up, pushes him here, left tackle's in space.
Yeah.
He's gone. He has no idea where to go. And so I'm like, yeah, I don't see people do that enough. I think he has so many different counter moves and different things that he does that he does really, really well. And he's such a, like you said, a technical tactician.
Yep.
Like he thinks the game. And I love that about his game.
Yeah. And you've got to have, as a pass rusher, and I've never been a pass rusher, but I know the elite pass rushers in this league, right? They have a variety of tools in their toolbox, right? They can bull rush you. They can, you know, get on the edge, beat you with speed and quickness. But they also, like with this guy on the write up, they can have that, you know, a lightning quick hands, but also have the counter moves to be able to do something different. So when you have pass rushers that have a lot in their tool bag, they can play with that offensive tackle, right? They can give him a bull rush the first look. They can come back, give him a speed rush around the edge. They can give something in terms of his hands. So they can beat you a variety of ways to keep that left tackle, you know, off balance. And that's what you got to have, because if you're a guy, we're watching film, all you can do is bull rush. Well, that's easy. You know, that's easy. Left tackle. Let's prepare for the bull rush.
Unless you're Braxton Jones.
easy. We got Ola Fashanu now.
We got Ola Fashanu. We're good. We got Ola Fashanu.
We're good, man.
Swing tackle, baby.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I think there's – and you know what it is about him that also excites me is it's second nature. He's not thinking about it. He's not sitting here. I think we've convinced ourselves on this. I'm willing to make this pick. We good on this one?
Let's do it.
122, we're taking him a little high, but that's okay. Because I think that he's a solid pick. Realistically speaking, I would also say the Bears would probably trade back into this draft to go get a cornerback. But like I said, we're gonna let this play itself out and see kind of where it goes. But no, the other thing that I just it really excites me about his game is. It's almost, again, I brought this name up earlier, right? But it's almost like, why can't I think of his name now? Our third linebacker. Jack Sanborn. It's almost Jack Sanborn-like, where there's limitations physically, but because the game is so mental for him, he will be able to make an impact on a consistent basis.
Yeah,
and that I love.
And I look at it like this, right? You get him and, you know, we've got Booker. You've got two young edge guys with potential. Yes, there's always going to be something that you need to work on in terms of development, but you have two pieces that you can, you know, bring in opposite Montez Sweat. And you got a guy that's willing to mentor these young guys in Montez Sweat. You know what I'm saying? So, and you combine that with the two young interior guys you brought in last year in Pickens and Dexter, like, you've got some pieces up there on our defensive line now.
As we're coming in, we got the last 28. Jordan Travis going to the Saints. That's their quarterback pick, huh? I bet.
Yeah,
shout out to him for the draft.
Coming off that injury, he was having a solid year before he got hurt.
Yeah, he's having a really solid year. That might be a great pickup for them, honestly.
Yeah.
They got to figure out the quarterback position down there.
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, you're spoiled and you have a Hall of Famer like Drew Brees for so many years. Like, you start to see what he really meant to that organization. Like,
oh yeah.
I mean, you weren't even thinking quarterback when Drew was down there.
Well, that's what's funny. That's how I feel about Philly. Even though I know that they're in a position of strength with the center position, but I really do feel like Philly's going to take a little bit of a step back this season, because you lost a Hall of Fame center. And I'll be honest with you. A guy who set – well, you guys dealt with this too, right, where you had your center setting – your protection, calling out coverages and stuff like that, right? With Olin Krutz. All right, now I want to see Jalen Hurts do it.
Yeah, it was. It's one thing, you know, you lose a great player, in terms of making the calls and, like you said, setting the calls and stuff like that. But you also lose a great player because he set the culture. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Olin, he did all the calls and stuff like that, but he set the culture. He helped set the standard in that building. So what did we get?
You drafted Olu Fashanu. Draft Dallas Turner. I know draft Dallas Turner.
Come on, man. What did they give us for the grade?
They Mac wanted Dallas Turner. All right, so we get an A-plus for Caleb Williams. I like the trade. I think the trade worked out well for us. We get a B-minus on Olu Fashanu pick, but here's the thing. Again, what did we just say? It's your scheme. How does it work?
Yeah.
Xavier Leggett, A-minus.
Can I get some credit for Xavier?
J-Mac beating the chest a little bit on Xavier. I'm not mad at that, J-Mac. Austin Booker, really good pick up there. I think that was a B-minus probably because I think these next two picks are graded poorly because of where we took them, not because of who the players are. Austin Booker getting a B-minus. Gabe Murphy getting a C. But overall draft grade, we get an A. This draft ranks in the top 71% of Bears drafts. I don't know. What awards did we just get? What does this mean? We got awards for the draft.
All I know is that overall draft grade is an A, right? That's all I know.
Overall draft grade is an A. I think that this is a pretty good draft. I wish I could see. Oh, here it is. What do the awards mean? First mock draft. Well, I've done multiple mock drafts.
Trade
accepted. Okay, so I don't even know why.
You got to take the A. You got to take the A. That means, hey, we studied, we did our work, we passed the test. You can never A.
Hey, and we were honest. Honestly, we were honest about it. We got to the. I was like, hey, I really like this Gabe Murphy guy. He's like, I've never watched a second.
I mean, look what you've answered, right? Three positions of need. You got a quarterback. You've got a tackle, right? You got a receiver, and you got defensive line help. Like, come on, man.
You addressed everything.
I mean, that's a great draft to me. I love it.
And you got a starting edge rusher in Austin Booker. You got probably your backup early on in Gabe Murphy, but I think they could compete for that. I think this is if the Bears mock fell this way, if the Bears draft fell this way, I should say, I would not be upset. I think that this is a great team. Let us know how you guys feel in the comments below. We'll post this on Twitter, me and J-Mac, because everybody killed the first one. Here's my first one. Here's my first one, just for reference. The first we did, I end up getting Caleb Williams. I got Joe Alt at 9. I don't know how the heck he fell there, but I was excited. I traded back in. Now, this was the part that wasn't believable in my first one.
Come on,
I don't think the Panthers will ever
trade. Tell the truth.
I don't think the Panthers will ever trade with us. I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't think the Panthers. Come on, sir.
Well, they gave me their second round pick. I gave up my second round next year because I love Jackson Powers. I'm giving them 2 second round picks. It is what it is, but I get Jackson Powers Johnson. I got Brendan Rice at 75, and then I got Xavier Thomas coming off the edge, who I thought we might be able to get here. Xavier Thomas would have been the piece de resistance at 122, but he didn't fall to us. I think he ended up going 120 in this draft. So that was our first one. Here is our second one. Caleb Williams, trade back, Olu Fashanu, Xavier Leggett, Austin Booker, Gabe Murphy. Let us know how you feel about the mock in the comments below. For Jason McKee. What you got, J-Mac?
I was going to tell him, too, when we put this mock up, if you have any problems with it, you disagree, make sure you at Pat the designer. Don't add J-Mac.
Hey, listen, here's the one thing that we know. You went to a Super Bowl for this city. They will never at you.
Hey, I'm here for it. I want all the smoke, man, just like Drake. Give me all the smoke, man. I'm ready.
Hey, I'm finna start responding like Drake.
Hey, Drake.
how he responded to Metro.
Drake, man. Oh, man.
Hey, man. Appreciate you guys tuning in, showing love. For Jason McKee, I'm Pat the Designer. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down, one love. 8 days away from the NFL draft. Let's get this thing done. Watch Ryan Poles just use all four picks and be like, I'm getting up out of here. Peace.